Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. As I always say, if you haven't already, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City wherever you are on social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, wherever you are, you can find Sporting Kansas City. They appreciate the follow, and it also means you will not miss out on any of the content that they are putting out. I'm Blake Arney, your host, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen. And John, it's a big week. Not only did you just have your birthday, that's a big one, but also the Masters are this week. And there's a big game this weekend, I guess. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the Masters, too.
Well, I am looking forward to the Masters. I love the Masters. It's always around my birthday. It's always around Easter. It's just a special sport. But obviously, the big match this weekend, the one that everybody's talking about, Sporting Kansas City versus Inter Miami at GEHA Field and Arrowhead Stadium. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be incredible. Obviously, we always preview the match in that last segment throughout this show, and so we will be doing that, of course, later on here, but have to jump in and just talk about how exciting that is going to be, because it's going to be a spectacle at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Like you just said, there's going to be a big crowd. It's potentially going to be the biggest crowd in Kansas and Missouri soccer history. So very, very excited about that one.
Yeah. Well, I think what's special about it too is obviously Kansas City Wizards used to play there. It used to be their home field, haven't played there since. So it's going to be nice to go back. And then I was talking to some front office employees within the organization, and they were discussing how, at one point they were almost sold out and expected to be sold out, only had a couple thousand more tickets to sell. So I just think it's going to be an incredible atmosphere. It's something different. It's something that fans don't usually get to experience. And I just think it's going to be a cool thing for Kansas City to get out to the stadium there. And then obviously you have a lot of international games being played here in Kansas City. So it's kind of a good test run for that and kind of see the atmosphere and see the field and the pitch and a new environment.
Absolutely. But as we go back, we can talk about the matchup, Sporting's most recent matchup at Children's Mercy Park, their home stadium, of course. It was against Portland, and John, it left a lot to be desired from the fans. It left a lot to be desired from everyone around the club. You go out and you score three goals in the first half, an absolutely dominant performance from the team in the first half, looking truly like they deserve to be near the top of the Western Conference. If they would have won that match, they'd be sitting in second or third place. I can't remember exactly how the math works out. Yeah, I think third place. I think you're right. But of course, the second half, Sporting comes out. It's not as good. They concede three goals. The match ends 3-3. There's a lot of positives to take out of it, but I guess where are you kind of standing a couple days after the match has concluded?
Yeah, I think, again, as Peter said in his press conference, at least they didn't lose, right? They still got a tie at home. I think what's disappointing about it, and I think why everyone's disappointed about it, is because you're up 3-0 and you're just absolutely dominating. Similar to that LA Galaxy game, you're just absolutely dominating. And there's a little bit of a mindset switch in the second half for whatever reason, and you end up just getting a result. So you have some drop points there at home, but I think it's still a good sign that they've really started to click attacking and created a lot of chances. I think that maybe in training, the focus has been on attack lately instead of defensive, because the defensive performances at the beginning of the season were so good. And I think, now they've got the attack flowing. Can they focus a little bit more on that defense to keep those clean sheets or to obviously keep those leads? But it's nice to see also that Sporting Kansas City is getting the first goal. I think that's important. I think Peter said it prior to the match. He said, score early and score often. And they definitely did that in the first half. Now it's, can they put together a full 90-minute performance? And, the Toronto game, they almost did, right, until the last second goal. So it was almost another kind of crushing victory for them. But, I still think that there's some positives to take from it. I still think it's early, but it is drop points at home again.
Yeah, and one of those positives, like you talked about, I think for Sporting Kansas City, Willy Agata is playing very well in that number 9 spot. Of course, missing Alan Pulido, missing Johnny Russell. SKC didn't know necessarily where those goals were going to come from if those two guys were missing. And Willy Agata has stepped up to the plate. He is in some of the best form we've seen strikers for SKC. And obviously, Alan Pulido last year had a stretch where he was scoring goals just like this, but Willy Agata to start the year scoring tons of goals, playing really well. And I think one of the most exciting parts for me is how involved he's getting in the attack and how well he's holding up the ball. When he gets it at his feet, he's shoving off defenders. He's not getting bullied off the ball. He plays the position very differently than Alan Pulido does, but he also plays it very well. So it's good to have two guys in that competitiveness that pushes one another, but also maybe every once in a while, like we saw in that matchup, you know, a couple weeks ago, they'll be playing off of each other.
Yeah, I think Alan and Willie really complement each other in their style of play. I think they bring different dimensions to the game. And like you said, it's awesome to see Willie doing so well at this moment with some of the injuries with Johnny Russell and obviously Alan Pulido had. You're getting goals by committee, you're getting assists by committee, and you don't even have your best starting 11 out there, or maybe at least on paper what you think the best starting 11 would be. And I think that's another good thing to see for Sporting Kansas City, that you're getting a lot of good individual performances from some of these players. And I'm really excited, hopefully here in the near future, to see Willie and Alan back on the pitch together, because like you said, Alan might drop a little deeper. While Willie's got great hold-up play, he's also got good runs in behind. He's just a dangerous player, and he's very effective because now the opponent has to deal with him. They have to follow him. It creates space for Alan. He's able to get the ball at his feet, turn, start dribbling, make certain passes out wide, and ultimately get in the box and finish like he's known to do. So that's a lethal combination between those two that I'm excited to see moving forward.
And, you know, we heard Peter Vermees after the match talking about his comments to the team at the half. He said he didn't go into what he said to the team at the half. I'm sure it was mostly positive things because, of course, they were leading 3-0. There was the moment, in the second half, it wasn't necessarily the way the team wanted to play, but Peter Vermees was very blunt about that situation, saying everything he told the team at the half was the exact opposite of what they did. And so that's a very frustrating thing for him. I'm sure a lot of that was he was caught up in emotions. Maybe he exaggerated a little bit, but there's probably a lot of truth to it as well, that, you know, conceding three goals, clearly the team didn't execute the game plan in the second half like they did in the first half. I guess from a former player, when you were on or in the locker room at halftime and your team was playing well, what kind of things were said, and maybe what did they do to do the exact opposite, as Peter Vermees said?
I don't know what Peter said. I can maybe guess to it, but they were dominating 3-0, right? So it's sort of just keep doing the things that you're doing, right? Be sound defensively. Don't give up chances. Peter always says, don't give the ball away at critical moments and critical places. And I also think it's just a mentality thing to close it out. And so he might have said that, you know, it's just a focus thing. And for whatever reason, yeah, they were doing so well in the first half. They did the exact opposite in the second half in terms of game plan, in terms of creating chances, pretty sound defensively. I mean, Portland only had one shot on goal in the first half. They ended up having seven in the second, nine total in the second half. So it just shows you that Portland was able to create a lot more chances. And I don't know if their game plan necessarily changed. I think it was more of a mentality shift from both sides.
Yeah, and you know, I think a big turning point in the match, obviously this isn't anyone in particular's fault, but when Sporting won the penalty kick, Willy Agata went up to take it. It missed wide. It felt like that was a little bit of a shift in momentum for SKC. And the way that, the best way to respond to moments like that where something doesn't go right and you're still dominating the match is just to put it behind you and keep moving. And it felt like that was maybe going to happen. And then as soon as SKC gave up the penalty kick on the other end, it's kind of just started that snowball effect that in previous years, Sporting, it feels like at home, has been able to kind of just see that out. And maybe they give up the one goal to a penalty kick or something like that, and then they end it, and that's where it ends. But then on this side, it feels like it's been creeping in where that little snowball effect starts to happen, and it just continues and continues and continues. And if they want to be where they want to be, which is near the top of the Western Conference, you have to be able to nip that in the bud. And Peter Vermees will be the first to tell you that he doesn't want his team to have that kind of identity. But I don't think it's happened enough this season for people to say this is going to be the problem the whole year. But it's starting to happen enough where people say, is this a problem? Is this actually something that needs to be addressed? And I think the coaching staff is saying that, and they're starting to address it.
Well, you know, you bring up a couple good points there. First off, I think Phil Neville's subs right there at halftime did make a big difference. I think he brought on some very veteran players that were able to have that leadership. On the other side, I think it is evident that you are missing Johnny Russell's leadership and his captain abilities. I think, you know, I did like when Sporting Kansas City gave up, I think it was the first or second goal, they came together at the middle of the pitch and they were really trying to, you know, put together a game plan to close up the match and just, you know, get back together and get back to their form that they had in the first half. But like you said, I think before that penalty, Sporting was still, I don't know if I would say dominating, but they were still creating a lot of chances. They were still playing very well up 3-0. And then you get the penalty and you do miss it. And so now it's a snowball effect, like you mentioned, right? Now it's kind of like, oh man, you know, it could have been 4-0. Willie could have had his hat trick. Then you can see it a penalty right away. Again, I could see how he could call that a penalty. I think at the same time, it's more of a 50-50 challenge. Portland scores. And I think it's kind of in everybody's mind that LA Galaxy game, right? So now you've got it in the back of your mind going, we can't give up another goal, right? And then as soon as you give up that second goal, it's going, uh-oh, you know, here we go. So I think that it's just more of a mentality thing. And now that it's happened once and it's happened twice, it is going to probably be in the back of their minds that they got to kind of get over with and close out those matches. But I think it's also more of a leadership thing. And I think, like I said, it is evident a little bit that you're missing Johnny out there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going into this matchup against Inter Miami, it's a big chance. It doesn't necessarily feel like a true home match. We've heard that from a number of players throughout the week, that this isn't really a home match. It's almost like a neutral site match. It kind of feels like an away match because they're going to a stadium that they don't normally play in. Of course, the fans are going to be relatively in favor of SKC, but as you know, the greatest player of all time could be playing in the matchup. So yeah, there's probably going to be a lot of people that are there just to see him. So it's not going to be 100% in favor of Sporting Kansas City like it would be if it was at Children's Mercy Park. You know, obviously that's not 100% true as well, because there'd probably still be fans that would be trying to get out just to see Messi play. But any other match at Children's Mercy Park is relatively all Sporting Kansas City fans. So, you know, it changes the atmosphere of that matchup, which means that Sporting Kansas City, it feels like a new environment. If they can go out and get all 3 points, this home stretch that they've got where they played Portland, now they have Miami, and St. Louis is upcoming. If they can get 4 points, they wanted 3 from the first, of course, but if they can get 4 points from their first 2 after what happened against Portland, now all of a sudden, if they're looking forward and they can get 7 points, it's still a successful stretch at home. It's still a way that you can prove that your home field is going to be tough to play. I mean, in all reality, Sporting has 1 loss on the year, and it was a very tough loss to the Galaxy, but they still have plenty of, I mean, they've only trailed for 17 minutes this season. In all honesty, that's an impressive stat. So, you know, you look at this team and you say there's plenty of good things to come out of this team, and there's plenty of time in the right remainder of the year at home to prove that you are still a dominant team.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think, like you said, you get a win here against Miami, and even a win against St. Louis, I mean, you're sitting really pretty. You've only lost 1 match. It's still somewhat early in the season. And, you know, I mean, you're starting to play, get close to those 10 games that Peter's talked about. But, I mean, yeah, 1 loss, if you would have said that after 6, 7, 8 games, I mean, last year you'd be sitting pretty. So I think that there's no reason to panic at all. I think if you look back at some of these previous matches, you look at the Galaxy game, you look at last match, and then you look at the Philly game, you're sitting there going, man, Sporting probably should be first in the entire Major League Soccer, you know, league. I just think that's why it's frustrating, right? Because they've been doing so well and they've just given away a few points. But regardless, you now got a great opportunity this weekend to get 3 points, a great opportunity against St. Louis to get 3 points. And you're back in top 3 positions again, you know.
As you said, I think that's the biggest point of frustration from fans, is that they know this team, the way they've been playing. If they could have closed out a couple of those matches, they could be sitting at the top of the, not just the Western Conference, but the entirety of the Major League Soccer standings.
Yeah.
But of course, as you said, John, it's not time to panic yet. Did you hear that, fans? It's not time to panic yet. I've seen some of you guys on social media hitting the panic button. Of course, social media is always going to be the extremes. You're always going to see, you know, both sides of the extremes, but it's not time to panic yet. There's plenty of time left in the season. Sporting are in a much better position than they were last year, and they've got a big match coming up at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium against Inter Miami, and potentially we will see Messi playing in that match. But we're going to take a quick break here on the Sporting Kansas City show. When we come back, we had a great conversation with Daniel Shallowy at Arrowhead Stadium. Make sure to stick around for that one here on the Sporting Kansas City show. Welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City show here at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium alongside Daniel Shallowy. Daniel, this is a pretty grand place here. You guys just had training here at Arrowhead. Just talk about, you know, how cool this has all been and it's going to be.
It's awesome. Honestly, it was a great time to train here, and the field looks great, and the stadium is one of a kind. You know, it's one of those things that you don't get to experience every day, and just being in the locker room and doing all these things, it's amazing. So we're all very excited about Saturday.
So I'm aware that you come to a lot of Chiefs games, so you'll have to tell me a little bit about that. You know, you've seen the atmosphere here for that. It's going to be different, obviously, when you guys play, but what are some of your experiences at those Chiefs games?
Yeah, the crowd gets crazy around here, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing with our fans as well. Different, but still amazing. And our season tickets are going to be where it is. It's actually where our family section will be. So it's so funny how it works. But it's going to be exciting to be on the field this time.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, coming off of a tougher matchup, but you've got this huge matchup against Miami coming up. How do you guys kind of, you know, it feels like you guys have started to shift that focus 100% forward on this Miami match. But I guess you personally, and to the guys that you talk to, how do you shift that momentum and that mentality going forward?
I think it's a good switch up that now we are, you know, in a different stadium. Everybody is excited about it, and we just practice to correct the mistakes that we made in the past game, and then we're excited to start this game. And you know, it's early on in the season, as I've said before, so you're allowed to make mistakes, but yeah, I think everybody's pumped about this game.
And then obviously it's a huge matchup. You've got Messi coming to town, potentially. You've got Luis Suarez, all those big names, Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba. I mean, we could just go on about some of these incredible players. You're going to get to share the field with some of them. Just talk about how cool that experience could be. And also, you know, being able to put on the blinders and say, it's still a match. We've still got to try and go out and get 3 points.
Yes, it's an interesting feeling for sure, because you watch these guys play it for so many years, and to share a field with them, it's gonna be a great feeling, and I'm sure a lot of guys will want to swap jerseys and all those things. So it's always exciting.
Do you have anyone that you've eyed out trying to swap jerseys with?
No. I was always a Real Madrid fan, so not my type. But I'll let the guys argue over it.
It's got to be pretty cool. You're sharing as the number 10. You know, potentially another number 10 out there. That's got to be kind of cool.
Yes, it's still gonna be amazing, and you know, they're all amazing players. So hopefully we get away with a win.
Absolutely. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for your time. That is Daniel Shallowy here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more on the SKC Show. Hello, and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. Myself, Blake Arney, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen. And John, I don't know if you've heard from all of this. There is a big team, a big player, well, a couple of big players coming into Kansas City. A huge matchup at Arrowhead Stadium, Sporting Kansas City against Inter Miami. It's certainly going to be a spectacle, John.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think everybody is extremely excited to see Messi here in town, right? But I also want to point out the fact that you got Luis Suarez, you got Julian Gressel, you got Busquets. I mean, it's just a team that's filled with talent, and it's a fun team to watch. But at the same time, I think that Sporting Kansas City is also playing fun soccer to watch, and they've been creating a ton of chances lately. So I think it's going to be a back and forth match. I think there's goals to be scored for sure. And obviously it's good for American soccer and soccer in Kansas City to be able to go out and watch, in my opinion, the best to ever do it.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that statement. And a lot of people around Sporting Kansas City have said the same thing in this buildup that we've talked about. Peter Vermees talked about it. And a funny little quote from Peter Vermees. I don't know if you saw this, John, but he said, when asked about how he thinks he should game plan for this or what things he's doing to game plan for this to stop Lionel Messi. Mm-hmm. And his answer was, I don't think any team or any coach has ever put together a game plan to stop him, and I'm certainly not going to be the first. So I think there's plenty of respect from Sporting Kansas City, knowing that Messi is Messi, and he's going to do, if he plays in this match, he's going to do what he's going to do, and you kind of have to just do your best to stop him and try and stop everyone else around him, because he is, like you said, the greatest player of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that's safe to say. Like, how can you put together a game plan? Because he's so smart that he's going to immediately see what you're doing and he's going to change up what he wants to do. But not only that, is if you focus too much on Lionel Messi, you now have Luis Suarez. He's got 5 goals, but he also has 3 assists. I mean, that's pretty wild to say this early in the season. But then you look at one of my good friends who I've played with, Julian Gressel. He also has 3 assists, incredible crosser. And then you also look at Sergio Busquets, and you can even look at the young attacker in Robert Taylor. This team is just very solid all the way around. And if you focus too much on one player, regardless if he's the best player in the world, they have enough talent to still punish you in other areas.
They most certainly do. And John, a nice statistic about this match, a fun storyline I think we will talk about when it comes around and as the week goes on, but it's obviously being played at Arrowhead Stadium. The place, as you mentioned earlier in this, the show, is that that's the place where the Wiz played. It's where the Wizards played for a while until they moved, and now obviously playing at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. But this Saturday against Inter Miami, it will be 28 years to the day of the inaugural match at Arrowhead Stadium for the Kansas City Wiz. I don't think they necessarily intentionally did that, but it's a very cool little milestone to show. 28 years ago, it was 21,100 whatever people in the stadium to watch a brand new team in Kansas City. And then in 2010 was a big moment when Manchester United, arguably the most famous team in the world, was brought into play. There was roughly 50,000 people there watching that matchup between the Wizards and Manchester United. Of course, the Wizards came out on top in that one. But now in 2024, an MLS team against another MLS team in a regular season match is going to bring in maybe a sold out crowd, 70 plus thousand people in the stadium. Not only to watch, Sporting Kansas City against Inter Miami, but to watch arguably the greatest player of all time in a Major League Soccer match. It's just crazy how much the league has grown in those 28 years, and it's a nice tip of the cap to that inaugural match.
Yeah, it really is crazy. I didn't know that stat. That's pretty awesome. I don't even know how you figured that out, but I mean, that's sweet. That just goes to show you how much soccer's grown in one, Kansas City, and two, in the league and around the country. But like you said, I mean, even from my playing days when I joined in 2010 to where the league is at now, in terms of salaries, in terms of traveling, in terms of facilities. I mean, so you're talking about it now, Sporting Kansas City or the Wizards back in the day playing at Arrowhead. Well, now you have a brand new, amazing stadium, one of the best in the leagues. You have, in my opinion, the best training facility in the league here in Kansas City. You've just invested so much into soccer here in Kansas City. And then you look around town and you look at all of the youth fields that they've built and just how many soccer teams and how many youth soccer players there are here in Kansas City. It's awesome personally for me to see, but I'm really looking forward to seeing 70,000, whatever it might be, fans this weekend at a soccer game in Kansas City. That's not something that I've seen. And I think, sure, there's going to be a lot of fans there to see Messi. They're going to be cheering on Miami, but I don't necessarily mind it. I prefer, crowds like that where they're going back and forth and just the atmosphere is awesome. And I think at the same time too, I don't think Sporting will consider themselves an underdog. I don't think there's going to be that many Inter Miami fans there. I think it might be Messi fans, but for the most part, everybody's going to be Sporting Kansas City fans. But there's probably a little bit of underdog mentality to anybody in the league who plays against Miami this year, because all eyes on Messi, all eyes on Inter Miami. And I just think it's going to be a great match. And I think Sporting still have something to prove at home because of the matches against the Galaxy in Portland. And I think they're going to come out flying.
What I think is so cool about this matchup is it's going to be a moment in history that we talk about. Of course, we talk about that inaugural match. We talk about the 2010 matchup against Manchester United. This is going to be brought into that same conversation of being a matchup that everyone looks back at. And I can guarantee you in 2040, whatever, when Sporting Kansas City is, I guess, hey, John, when the next eclipse comes around in 2044, as we've seen that stat about how many eclipses are coming around. That was a nice little one to throw in there. But when the next eclipse comes around in 2044, people are going to be looking back saying, yeah, that was the match that I became a soccer fan, or that was the match that the first time I actually saw Sporting Kansas City play in person because I heard about Messi and I wanted to go watch him. And now I follow the team. And I think there's going to be a number of people like that, especially young kids, young, you know, boys and girls that are watching Messi play. And they have that memory of how grand soccer can be in America and how grand it can be here in Kansas City. And then they become Sporting Kansas City fans. I mean, there's plenty of people who are going to watch this match and because Messi's playing, and then they're not going to, you know, watch Sporting Kansas City again after that. And that's okay. But I think it's really cool how many people are going to come to watch this match and then continue to follow the sport and follow Major League Soccer because of it.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I'm fine with that. You know, they're coming out, they're getting experience. They're here for Messi, and that's fine. I think that's great what Messi's doing for this league. What's cool for me, and I don't know if I've told this story on air before, but when I would go to the Kansas City Wizards games at Arrowhead, and in the corner, players would come over and they would sign autographs and they would give away their boots and their shin guards and their gloves. And, you know, to your point, my turning point when I was like, I want to be a professional soccer player was at Arrowhead when Ryan Raybould came over and he gave me his boots and he signed them. And I still have them to this day. And just, I was like, I want to be a professional soccer player, you know? And so when I was playing, I always liked to have, you know, give away my gloves after matches, whatever it might be, and jerseys, sign autographs and so forth. Cause I'm hoping that might make somebody want to be a professional soccer player one day as well. And kind of follow in my footsteps. And I think that there's going to be a lot of fans at the match where this is their first match ever. Right. Like you said, and young fans. And I'm sure after the match, there's going to be autographs and players walking around thanking fans and so forth. And I'm hoping that even if one person says, hey, mom, hey, dad, you know, I want to be a professional soccer player, that this match, you know, because of this match kind of changed their views.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool atmosphere. Obviously, it's not the regular home stadium for Sporting Kansas City. It's going to be much grander, much different, you know, much more different. And it's not going to feel like a true home match. It's almost going to feel like a neutral site because neither team's in their regular home locker room. Neither team is familiar with the stadium outside of some Sporting Kansas City players who go to Chiefs games every once in a while. They'll be somewhat familiar with the stadium in that they know what it looks like and they know what the atmosphere is going to be like. But I think the coolest thing about all of this is just how many people are going to be at the match for specifically soccer. And that's something that, you know, as a kid, I was growing up and I've seen how much this sport has grown. I've gone to, like you said, you went to matches at Arrowhead Stadium. I wasn't quite old enough to be going to matches at Arrowhead Stadium, but I was watching matches when they were playing at Comerica Park where, you know, the T-Bones played. And that was, to me, super cool, but obviously not the same kind of support that they get at Children's Mercy Park now. And like they're going to have at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday. And so I think for everyone that's close to soccer, it's going to be kind of a build up to how cool this moment is to show how much the league has grown. But it's just a start because as soon as you get all these new fans that are coming in, maybe then they start to show interest in Copa America. Then maybe they start to show interest in the 2026 World Cup. And all of a sudden, you know, like I said, 2020 or 2044, there's going to be a whole host of new people that their best soccer memories are some of their earliest watching at Arrowhead Stadium.
Are you calling me old? Because I went to Arrowhead games.
I guess maybe. I'm sure if I'm calling you old, then there's plenty of people out there that aren't going to like me because obviously you're still pretty young.
No, you bring up a good point because when I joined Sporting or the Wizards, we were still playing at Community America Ballpark. So obviously me seeing the league and the team grow from Community America Ballpark and other stadiums around the country that we played into fancy, shiny new Children's Mercy Park, unbelievable atmosphere to now being able to you know, playing a football stadium that seats 70,000 fans plus, and it's going to be sold out. I think that it's, again, going to be a special game for everybody involved, even though it's not your normal home field advantage in terms of Children's Mercy Park.
But John, you know, that's I think the bigger picture. We're definitely getting into all of the things that we are excited about, but looking specifically at this match, it's Sporting Kansas City against Inter Miami, 3 points up for grabs. Sporting has every reason, like you said, to not feel like the underdog. Of course, every team that plays Miami knows how good they are. But Sporting, coming into this matchup, there's 3 points up for grabs. They're looking at this Miami team, and they know that this Miami team is very talented. They've been playing great this season. They're sitting in third place in the Eastern Conference. Of course, a couple more matches played than everyone else because they started the year a little earlier. but they're coming off a midweek match against Monterey. Obviously, when we're recording this, we don't know what happened in that match. They're trailing 2-1, having to go to Mexico to play that match. As far as I know, I think they're flying directly from there to Kansas City. So we'll have to see how that affects them. I mean, in Sporting Kansas City's eyes, this team's going to be a little more tired, and they can go out and maybe be jazzed up a little bit by the crowd to try and grab 3 points.
For sure. And yeah, I was told they'll be here Thursday as well, because they're going to come straight from that match in Mexico. And, you know, this is a team that scored a ton of goals. They scored 16 goals, but they've also allowed a ton of goals. They've allowed 12. So, like I said, this is another match where I see sort of a high scoring game. You know, and I also see, like you just mentioned, they could be tired, right? They're going to have just played. Sporting's going to have a little bit of an advantage on them in terms of that. But regardless, it's still a team that's got a lot of young, good pieces. They've got a lot of talent on their squad. And again, I just think that Sporting Kansas City might have a little bit of an edge. Plus, with Sporting Kansas City's mentality, probably wanting to prove something, you know, I think that they're going to come out flying, like I mentioned.
Yeah, and some players back in training today. This is Tuesday that we're recording. We saw Johnny Russell back in training. He wasn't a full go. He was maybe in a more limited role, but he was back in training, which is good to see. Andre Ufontas seemed to be back and ready to go. He should be, obviously. He was on the bench in the matchup against Portland, didn't start in that game, never came in the match, but it's his, a couple of his former teammates at Barcelona. You know, he played in La Liga for quite a while, so he knows a lot of those guys. He's going to be just as ready to go. Hopefully, if he's fully healthy, he can get into the match and maybe help shore up a little bit of those things that didn't go right in the second half. Obviously, Sporting Kansas City have a great leader in Andre Ufontas in the back line. Maybe he can help a little bit with that, you know, knowing what some of those guys like to do, helping his defenders around him, show them where to be, those kind of things. You know, I think that there's a lot of potential that Sporting Kansas City can go out and grab all 3 points.
Yeah, I think it's funny you mention that, because I think every time you play against an old teammate, you always remember all these bits and pieces. You know them a little bit more, right? You've got experience with them. So I'm sure he's definitely sharing some tidbits from his playing days with them. But it'll be good to hopefully see him back and hopefully have a little bit more leadership within the team, whether that's Johnny, whether that's Fontes coming back. And I think that it's good to see, like we mentioned, these other players playing so well, because Peter's got a tough decision. Again, you know, it's, do I play these players who are coming back from injuries, or do I keep playing these players that are in form, that have been doing so well, that have earned to keep playing, you know, earned playing minutes and to keep starting? So I think it's a good problem for Peter to have, but it's definitely a problem.
Well, I think the biggest question coming into the week or the weekend, obviously, we'll know more after we watch their matchup against Monterey. But the question is going to be, will Lionel Messi play in this matchup against Sporting Kansas City? And of course, we don't have a crystal ball. We'd love to tell you, yes, he's going to start and he's going to play 90 minutes. We don't know. But what we do know is that he played in the match against Colorado. I believe he played the entirety of the second half, if I recall correctly. And he scored in that match. So that's going to be something to watch out for. But the chances of him playing, I think, have gone up every day with the fact that he played against Colorado. And now if they can keep him healthy, depending on, obviously, they're going to go for it in Mexico against Monterey. They're going to go for it. They want to try and advance in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And so he's probably going to be playing. It wouldn't shock me if he played the entirety of that match. So does that affect how much he plays in Kansas City? Well, we will see. But ultimately, I think everyone that is coming to Arrowhead Stadium to watch that matchup hopes he plays in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think he's here no matter what, whether that's starting and playing the whole match or whether that's coming in as a sub. He wants to play, right? I mean, you're talking about best player in the world. He loves soccer. He lives and, you know, breathes, dies playing soccer. So he's going to, if he can, he's going to play. And regardless, whether it's the full match or just half the match or whatever it might be, you still have, like I've mentioned, Luis Suarez, who's Golden Boot race, MVP race right now. Julian Gressel, multi-MLS Cup winner. You've got Jordi Alba. You know, I mean, you could just keep going down the list. Sergio Busquets, Leonardo Campana. I mean, these are just fun players to watch regardless. And I think Messi will be there. Luis will be there. And then on the other end, I think that Sporting Kansas City is starting to go back to full strength. So it's going to be a fun match. I mean, this is the one I marked on my calendar. I said this is the one I want to be at. It's going to be an exciting one.
Yeah, and obviously we'll know more after that matchup against Monterrey, but Lionel Messi is the kind of player, as you said, who wants to play. If he's healthy, he's going to try and get in the starting lineup. And Peter Vermees talked about it at the media availability today that he's fully expecting Messi to play. He's fully preparing as if Messi's going to be playing. The team is preparing as if Messi's going to play. But like you said, I think Luis Suarez is getting a lot less credit than he deserves. He is arguably one of the best strikers in this generation, and he's playing very well for Inter Miami right now. And no one's really talking about that because it's all about Messi.
No, I know. And I don't know if he likes it or doesn't like it, because he can kind of fly underneath the radar, right? Everyone's focused on Messi and it's like, well, here I am. But, and again, don't discredit the outside winger and Julian Gressel and his crosses and his service, because I mean, he can be lethal as well. And then just any sub that you bring on at that forward spot for Inter Miami, like I said, they've obviously scored 16 goals. So Sporting Kansas City is going to have to continue to focus on their defense this week and get back to that stout defense that they had at the beginning of the season.
I think another talking point that I had thought about was, you know, talking about Tim Leibold and Jake Davis in the two, you know, fullback spots. If you would have told them a couple years ago, Tim Leibold while he was playing in Germany and Jake Davis while he was in the Sporting Kansas City Academy, that they could potentially be sharing the field at Arrowhead Stadium with Lionel Messi, I think they would have looked at you a little funny, would have looked at you like you were crazy. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere, and it's going to be fun for all those players who have that respect. I mean, every player we've talked to for Sporting Kansas City has talked about how they looked up to Messi at some point in their life. And so to have that is going to be very, very interesting. John, any last touches you have about this Inter Miami match that's going to be just a great atmosphere in Kansas City?
Yeah, well, I wonder which Sporting Kansas City player is going to get Messi's jersey after the match, but that was always kind of the fun thing to see when we played some of these top players in the world. But what I would say is, if you want to be the best, right, you got to beat the best. So you're talking about one of the best players in the world, best player of all time, and you're talking about a team that's in form, scoring a ton of goals. Sporting Kansas City has been tested at the beginning of this season so far, and Peter Vermees has liked that because he's able to see what he's gotten his guys, and I think this is another big test for them, and I think it's a good chance for them to get 3 points and finish this road stance off with a win, and a win against St. Louis as well.
If I was a betting man, John, which I'm just not, I would say Andre Ufontas has a great chance at getting the jersey off Messi. I think that, you know, being a former teammate, knowing each other already probably helps. But at the same time, I've seen Messi before not give away his jersey. So you never know.
You never know. You never know.
It'll be a fun one. If you haven't already, make sure to go and grab your tickets, sportingkc.com/tickets. It is going to be a memorable day in Kansas City. And if you haven't already planned on being a part of it, you really should. It would be a fun time. And if you can't go, make sure you tune in here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or on Apple TV. You can get the local home radio broadcast. It's going to be probably the biggest game, John, that you and I will be talking about easily this season, because it's, you know, it's Inter Miami and Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, all those guys. But it's definitely the most anticipated of this season. So make sure to be a part of it if you haven't already. But that's all we've got here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Make sure to tune into that matchup, and we will be back next week with more here on the Sporting Kansas City Show.